mid-60s, and that trend continues all the way into Tuesday. Richard Webbing at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. I see got a couple folks in here real early, man. I just got the stream jumping in. I see Smitty in here. He thought he was first. He said he commented first. He thought he was first. I think Yakenji beat him to it, man. Yakenji's always, probably first pretty much every single day. But welcome into this Thursday edition. Hope you guys are doing well. Got some fun stuff on the table for you guys that we'll talk about, and we'll dive into that here soon. We also have Brandon Clear, who will be on the show like he is every Thursday at 11:30. And, of course, at the top of the hour, we will have our guy, Mr. Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. We'll be chopping up a couple of things here on the show today. Yesterday, we had a fun show, man. We got to break down the last 10 starting quarterbacks, kind of ran towards the end of the show. And I thought that was a great conversation. Again, that came from the next round. And I think we all settled on our ranking. I think we were in a pretty fair range. I don't think we heard Wyatt necessarily. So Wyatt wants to chime in on that at some point. I'll let him add his top 10 of the, ranking the last 10 starting quarterbacks at Alabama. But in terms of today, a couple things that I've seen pop up on the feed. And, of course, I told you guys, you don't know what you're going to talk about until literally the night before that morning. There's always news. And sure enough, we've got some news today that we're going to cover. This time, it's about recruiting a little bit. Now, not about anybody specific, right? We're not talking about a specific recruit. But actually, we're talking about a quote from Courtney Morgan, Alabama's general manager, who did a little bit of an interview. I think there was a quote from ESPN, if I'm not mistaken, that's where it came from originally. And he basically was a straight shooter when it came to their approach with recruiting nowadays. We know that the landscape has changed, right? We know that there's NIL. There's guys that are getting paid to come on visits. We know that there's a lot of, you know, back and forth, coordination, negotiation between agents and players. And Courtney Morgan basically set the record straight and gave a very, honest take on what things look like, especially here at Alabama. So we'll talk about his comments. We'll respond to that. Plus, On Three, you know, they've got a lot of stuff that comes out pretty much every day. Check them out if you haven't already. But I know Ari from On Three had listed his top 10 returning college football players. Well, today, On Three officially listed their top 100 overall college football players. And I took a look at the list not long ago, and I'll just be honest with you guys. It was a very interesting list. Very interesting list. We'll take a look at that list. We'll see where some of Alabama's guys come in. I think you guys might be shocked a little bit with their list, and I'm sure we'll get some reactions. So we'll definitely we'll talk about that and discuss that. Plus, I know Wyatt has pointed us in the direction of another article that had some good Bama content in it. So we'll take a look at that as well. I feel like it's only fitting to bring up the NBA finals since we've kind of been doing conference finals, I should say. Since we've been doing that a little bit here in our intro segment, Reed, Wyatt, I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch last night's game, but Thunder ended up getting the dub last night. Did you guys get to watch that game? Any thoughts on it at all? Did you guys walk away with anything from that, or still have any, I guess, opinions on that series, where things stand now?
I'm glad that the Thunder got the win in game two, because I feel like if they lost the first two games at home, that's not a great sign. Why, you have anything?
Spurs still have home court advantage, obviously, you know, or now they've got home court advantage because they stole that first game. And so you go back to San Antonio, it's going to be absolutely key for them to not do what the Thunder did and lose one of those two games in San Antonio. Because if you go back to OKC up 3-1, you feel kind of fine. You're okay with whatever happens in game five. And then you've got a chance to win the West on your home court in San Antonio and get ready for the NBA Finals. But overall, SGA did what SGA did best last night, and so I thought he did a really good job of taking care of
getting
business.
Getting to the free throw line?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Did a good job taking care of business, getting to the free throw line. And so it's going to be a lot of fun, though. I really like this battle that's going on between Wimby and Chet right now. Wimby's, like, calling him all sorts of stuff and calling him out. And it's not often you see the better player be the one talking smack like that. But Wimby's just... He's so good, dude. It's insane how good he is.
He's different. Wait, well, let me ask. Where did that beef with Chet?
So I think I think it goes back to pre-NBA days. They were doing some sort of exhibition event or whatever, and Chet had a good play on Wimby. And so Chet started to talk a little smack, and Wimby took it completely personal and has now made it like his life's mission to ruin everything that Chet Holmgren wants to do. And so, like I said, normally, because he's not engaging with it at all. And that's the funny thing. Chet Holmgren is not engaging whatsoever with this. But Wimby is dialed in, ready to go, ready to talk smack. Wimby will hit a dunk and then immediately say, all right, where's Chet? I need to go talk my smack.
Wow.
Not often, like I said, not often that you see the better player be the one that's, you know, jaw-jacking like that and hunting for somebody to talk to.
I kind of like that kind of attitude at times. You know what's funny? This does bring me back. Remember the whole Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese days back in college when they were going at it and there was the big debate and some people were like, you know, it's a little tasteless seeing Angel Reese do all the talking and she, the way she kind of goes about playing. And I remember, you know, my dad would say, you know, he kind of likes that type of competitive nature. Like, to me, I'm like, for example, Draymond Green. I playing against somebody like that is like one of the worst. But I do feel like it does add a little bit more entertainment. Just like hockey has its entertainment with the fights that they have. I mean, like, I feel like when you have somebody that can talk and back it up, it kind of, I don't know, like I like Anthony Edwards. Like, he's a dog on the court. And I'm not saying he talks a whole bunch, but just some of the stuff you hear him say, like, I kind of like that edge that he has. And some other players, but yeah, I saw that they had some type of beef, and I was confused because I was like, man, you're right. It seems like very personal, but I didn't know where it really stemmed from. But speaking of basketball, get this go. I was texting with one of my buddies. Shout out to Truett, man. He loves listening to the show. That's my guy. And he had asked me about LeBron. As you guys know, LeBron, where he just finished, what, year number 23 in the NBA. We all know the success that he's had. But let me ask you guys this, because me and Truett were texting about this. Where do you guys think LeBron ends up next year? And do you think he calls it? Because Truett asked me, do I believe LeBron's going to call it quits? And I was like, nah, I don't think that. I think he has at least one more in him. And then I took it a step further because I think I saw one of the reports that had said, you know, a lot of the top teams have been making calls about him. And I'm thinking, well, you got Cleveland, who's in the Eastern Conference Finals right now. I mean, how sick would that be if he goes and runs it back like one more time with Cleveland? I think Bronny also might be, like, his contract might be kind of up like that. I mean, maybe the two of them take their talents back home to Cleveland one final year. They got a good team. That would be ideal for a guy like LeBron who's trying to, you know, close things out in his career. You know, you go join a team that's currently played in the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know necessarily the fit or all that because I don't keep up with basketball enough to know, you know, who they're probably going to keep next year. I don't know all those details. But what do you think about that, Reed? I see Chase now. You guys are playing musical chairs. What's up, my guy, Chase? Why do you guys, number one, do you think LeBron's going to keep playing? I think if he was going to hang it up, we would probably already have some type of idea. I don't think we get some big shock factor and he just says he's done. But what are your thoughts on that and where do you see him playing next year?
So Wyatt and Chase, y'all both said stay.
Yeah,
They both think. I think he's going to the Cavs. I think it's just going to be kind of a circle back to kind of where everything started.
I think he might stay for us.
Norris also thinks he's going to stay. I just think it's a whole circle back, one final go around with, you know, the hometown.
So Kenji says Bronny's not a free agent. I thought somebody had mentioned that Bronny also might have been, you know, I guess freed up from whatever he's got. I don't know. Maybe not. I think that could play a big part in it. I don't think it's everything, though. But would it be kind of weird if LeBron did go back to Cleveland and Bronny still remained in L.A.? I mean, I don't know. I don't think it'd be, like, weird, but it'd be interesting. But I will say this, for all the people that were kind of down Bronny and saying, you know, he's just a nepo and, you know, listen, I think he's he's shown for a guy that was drafted with like 55th overall, which we already know. I'm sure people know this. NBA draft, I mean, a lot of second round picks, G League guys. And I mean, it's kind of a, you know, a long shot to even get to where he's been at. Now, does that help him out that he's alongside his dad? 100%. But I think he's gotten a lot better. And you got to remember, he didn't play a bunch of college ball because he had that heart condition. So I just wanted to say shout out to Bronny because I feel like he's been proving some people wrong, man. The kid never did not nobody. He got a lot of heat just because he was LeBron's son. And I get it. He probably did have a few, you know, things fall his way because of his dad. But that would be interesting to me to see kind of how that plays out. Do they, if LeBron does leave, is it a package deal? I mean, that could also tie some things up.
Christian, where do you think he goes?
I told Truett, I think Cleveland would be dope. I don't know if he actually does it. I mean, I'm with you guys, too. I could totally see him staying in L.A. I mean, at this point, I mean, they've got Luka, right? I don't think he's still good. I think he still will be there next year. I mean, they got some players, and they weren't bad this year. I mean, they were straight from what I watched. I mean, again, I didn't watch all the games. I only caught some of them. But, I mean, I think there's a good chance he stays, especially knowing that if Bronny, in fact, is also – this is Bronny's contract is partially guaranteed next season. So they could trade him wherever. I don't know. I was surprised 60% chance he stays. But if he does leave, I think Cleveland would probably be the place to watch out for. It just, I mean, they're a good team. He obviously probably wants to win on his way out. They're playing the Eastern Conference Finals, and that's where it all started. I think it would be nostalgic. It would be meaningful, and that would probably be a cool way to end your 24-year career. That's if next year is his last year. Do we think he plays past next year, or do we think it's a final tour? Because remember, Aaron Rodgers also just announced Wyatt's favorite quarterback. He announced this upcoming season he's going on a farewell tour. Is it a farewell tour for LeBron, or you think he's got at least a couple? I mean, I think from an athletic standpoint, he could play a couple more years if he wanted to. What do you guys think?
I think it will be farewell. I really do.
I think so, too. I just watched him, though. I mean, dude, like, at 40, however old he is now, like 40, 41, I don't even know his exact age. I mean, dude can play ball, man. Dude can play ball. Let's hit a timeout. I know we're talking some basketball. We got to dive into this main topic that we have. We got Brandon Clear coming up. But, again, we had some interesting quote from Courtney Morgan, who basically laid it out there and kept it 100 with everybody in terms of how they approach this whole recruiting thing with this new landscape that they're navigating. We'll talk about that and more when we come back.
Products plus free shipping when you text RADIO to 64000. Text RADIO to 64000 to get your 20% off. That's RADIO to 64000.
From Tuscaloosa to the world, download the free Tide 100.9 app for all the latest on Crimson Tide sports.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right, let's dive into this main topic that we got here today. A few minutes from now, we'll have Brandon Clear, I think, calling in. We'll talk with him about it as well. But I want to just go ahead and throw it out here for you guys because I'm scrolling social media, as I always do, looking for the latest news to talk about. And, well, this is what I came across yesterday, and I thought it was definitely very interesting. So, Courtney Morgan, we all know, Alabama's general manager. Matter of fact, just got a raise, has helped put together two back-to-back top five recruiting classes. Does a really good job here, right, managing the roster, bringing guys in. And part of his job is just that, literally bringing guys in on visits. However, he had an interesting quote here that was reported by ESPN, and it reads, "If we can't come to an agreement, you just don't bring them for an OV. We'll cancel the kid's visit. There was a big-time player last year, top of his position. We just told him, don't come because we couldn't meet on the terms that he wanted." very straightforward response from Courtney Morgan. Now, I probably should have tried to pull up like this whole interview and see, try to see if there was even more context there. Now, all the context is pretty much there. You get the point, but I'm sure there's probably a little bit more to it. That said, listen, I respect that approach. I think that's the right approach. Number one, for a couple of reasons. Number one, you're setting a precedent, right? In a world where all these kids, I shouldn't call them kids, young men, teenagers, whatever, have pretty much been given everything to them, to the point where, I mean, where it used to be, hey, man, you were grateful to be offered the opportunity to take an official visit, right? Because of the rules where you had five of them, you know, a school had to have great interest in you to set you up on an official visit. All other visits back in the day, unofficial visits, you paid for everything, unless there were some handshakes that were made behind closed doors to, you know, maybe reimburse somebody, whatnot. But unofficial visits, you had to pay for everything. Official visits, you had five of them, and that was where they covered everything, your travel, your stay, all that. And they basically rolled out the red carpet. Nowadays, kids are getting paid to do that. They're basically paying kids just to have the opportunity to do that. And so here you have Courtney Morgan saying, listen, we're not even going to waste our time. If we can't come to terms on numbers or on things that you want, I only wanted to say numbers because, I mean, we've all heard. I mean, it's more than just dollar signs at this point. Sometimes it includes airfare. Sometimes it includes, you know, stay for relatives or who knows. I mean, the list, I've heard people asking for land and other things. But I respect the approach because, number one, you're setting a precedent that we're not going to be, you know, bending the knee and just, you know, just dishing out all this money. We understand the guy might be a top recruit and we at least want a chance, which on one hand, I can understand that. Like, you don't want to ever just count yourself out necessarily because you never know. A guy, you might not be able to agree to terms, but you do get him on campus. And maybe there's just something that, and I'm not going to say it's going to be like the locker room or necessarily the training room that catches his eye and changes his mind. But maybe when he gets there and he interacts with the players and really sees it firsthand, say he hadn't necessarily done that a whole bunch, maybe, just maybe, there is a small chance that could shift his perspective a little bit. But what is the reality, Reed, that if a guy is saying, hey, I'm already getting offered $2 million from Oregon, and you're saying, hey, we view you as, I mean, we could maybe give you $1 million, but there's not much more room on our end. Do we really think if that kid comes on a visit, even if the visit goes spectacular, do we really believe that's going to be enough to make this kid say, you know what? I'm going to take $1 million less and take my talents to this school because the players seem cool. I like the coaches. And listen, that's how it used to be. But you hear coaches come out and say time after time, these kids pretty much just want to know between them and their parents and the representation agents, whoever the representative might be, what is the number that you're going to be paying us? And that's really, I would price, that's probably 70-80% of really the recruiting battle at this point, which is sad. So, Reed, what do you think about Courtney Morgan's, quote here, basically saying, hey, if we can't come to an agreement ahead of time, just don't even worry about coming here. We don't even want to try to have a chance to sway your opinion or change your mind. If the money doesn't work, this whole thing's not going to work.
Yeah, I think it's completely valid. I think it's portraying the message of, like you said, hey, if we're not going to wiggle on, you know, money. If you're wanting to come here, you're wanting to come here for one reason, and that's to play football. You know, not anything or any kind of bonuses outside of the field. And so I think it's, when I first saw that, I was like, you know what? Yeah, because if you're not willing to want to just come for, kind of like you said, the whole recruiting thing is 70-80%, you know, NIA, how much money are you going to give me and how much money this team over here is going to give me? It's not about that, I feel like, here, because there's other teams, like you pointed out, the Oregons, you know, the Ohio States, the bigger, big name schools that, you know, can have more of that NIL. But here, you know, we'll be able to, you know, give you it, but we're not going to be able to match some of these other premier schools. Like I said, the Oregons, the Ohio States, the Texas Techs, so on.
Yeah. And I think another thing is you're somewhat protecting your culture, right? Now, and there could be an argument here because I think there needs to be balance. Right. I definitely would want to protect my culture, meaning I don't want to set the precedent where I just feel that kids think they can just show up. They're going to get paid, you know, endless amounts of money. Because in my opinion, that's going to start kind of bleeding into your culture. You're going to have a bunch of guys. I'm not going to say all those guys are prima donnas, but the reality is you're probably going to have a handful of guys on your team that we all know they're just going after the bag. And to me, you know, you got to do some of that to get good players, but you don't want it to where your culture builds up to where all you have is just a bunch of guys that all they're focused on is the money. And that's where I do believe Alabama's done a really nice job. They found a really good balance where they're landing top recruits. They've had top five classes, but you can see the kids that they are in fact landing, they appear, I'm not saying every single one of them, I'm not saying that the ties are as strong or as deep as they once were before NIL, because I don't believe that to be true. But I do feel like a number of these guys do decide to maybe take a little bit less money to come to Alabama. They do emphasize the relationships that they've built with coaches and or players that are currently on the team that make them feel that family atmosphere. I've talked to recruits and they've mentioned that. That's something that really sticks out to them about Alabama. So I do think that is nice when you look at it from that perspective that, hey, we're not just going to be just throwing out endless amounts of money. That's not the message that we want to send the kids that want to come to Alabama. We want players that want to come here and put this Crimson Tide uniform on and really embrace it. However, you also do have to consider some, you have to give a little bit, right? We all know that. Because if you don't, you're not going to land any of these top guys. So again, balance is the key. That's probably like, you know, the theme of the show. Everything's about balance, right? We're always kind of down the middle, right in the fence. But really, all jokes aside, that's what you have to have here. But one could argue, I mean, if you look like Texas, right? They spend what I would consider, quote unquote, endless amounts of money. They've got a really good roster. I mean, they've got all the talent you need, especially this year. They've look at all the top player lists and whatever you happen to just watch the tape. They've got some dudes. Hasn't translated just yet. So I wouldn't say we have proof that, you know, just spending all that money is automatically going to just put you in that position, because they didn't even make the playoffs last year. Right? But I do think it helps you out having really good guys. But like Coach Saban said, you can spend all that money, but if you don't spend on the right guys, or if you don't have the right coaches, or you don't have the right culture, it really doesn't do anything. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling. We keep on discussing this. We got Brandon Clear coming up. We'll get his thoughts on it and more right here on the Miller's Edge. Of course, we got Adam Lamparella at the top of the hour from Lamparella Law, Education, and Advocacy, official representation here on the show. Quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Provide the freshest, best quality to our customers. So we just look at it as, hey, basically, we're your kitchen. You're just coming to eat in your kitchen. Taco Casa, under the biggest cactus in town.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparella Law, Education, and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparella, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law, Education, and Advocacy. Proud partners.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites, from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
24/7, 365.
Touchdown!
We've got all your coverage of the Crimson Tide
on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Thursday, this is the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, we're talking about Courtney Morgan's quote, setting the record straight. We can't come to terms on numbers. Don't even come. And, hey, man, I respect it. I respect the approach. But let's see what our guest of the day has to say. Brandon Clear, former Clemson wide receiver, he joins us every Thursday. Number one, welcome in, man. Good to hear from you. Number two, man, we'd love to get your thoughts on this Courtney Morgan quote.
Hey, what's up, Miller's Edge, man? What's up, Christian? Good to hear y'all voices again. I know it's been a while, man. Regarding the Courtney Morgan, I completely agree with that approach. You cannot waste resources on kids that, again, are just at the negotiating table just strictly for money. And I think this is a lesson that has to be taught to young kids in general. Whenever you go into a business setting or any type of negotiation or any type of environment, you have to know that it has to be more than just the money that's going to be pulling you into a place. When you make these decisions, oftentimes you're hoping that they have guidance or they have family that are there. They're able to work on their behalf and help them to be able to reach a decision that's going to help them in the long run. But right now, a lot of these kids have agents doing that on their behalf that are just trying to go ahead and bargain out whatever they can to, you know, bid out for the highest bidder, whatever they can for that student athlete, right? So, you know, again, when you do that, when you're in Alabama, you're in Ohio State, you're in LSU, you don't have to do the back and forth. Your brand and your ability to put kids into the NFL, that's still going to be the top-notch goal for some of these kids where they're seeing the long-term vision. The ones that are short-sighted will want the money up front, and then you'll have a situation very similar to what Texas A&M faced. A lot of those kids, they didn't pan out. There was a bunch of five stars that went over there, and there was only a couple that actually made it to the league. And because they had to hop around and go place to place and they were not valued at the same way that they were coming out of high school, retention is what Alabama's focused on. Development is what Alabama's focused on. And they're willing to pay in the portal, but that's for proven commodities. When you're in high school, you're not proven at all. So I'm not going to pay, you know, a five-star guy that has some type of ability that has not performed against D1 athletes, I'm not paying him $5 million at any point. That is just, you have to know that. And so the fact that Alabama's at the forefront of it and they're not caving into the demands just to, you know, make the fans happy that they've got 10 5-stars, but then you talk to the fans and they haven't even watched the person's, you know, highlights and they're trying to figure out exactly what that person is as a prospect, you're just making a mistake. So Courtney Morgan is doing it the right way. He's building the right way. And the retention is the way you truly do in the long term. I think that's going to remain one of the top goals for a lot of these top 10 universities. Texas may go out and spend, but they still do development. And so the retention on their team is a top priority as well. So it's not talked about a lot. I think it's going to get lost in the shuffle. And I think you're going to see these college programs really shift away from even high school recruiting because – I mean, at the end of the day, they're going to get the guys that they can get, but they're going to be focused on those 4- or 3-star prospects that they can develop that may not necessarily just try to leave after a year. Where those 5-star recruits, you may just need a couple of them, and you might pay, right? You might pay for what you think they might be projected to, but you're not going to pay that said player higher than someone that's actually a proven commodity on your team that, to me, is already arrived. And they've proven they can actually be capable of performing on the big stage. So, I think, again, you have to be able to just remind these high school kids that you haven't done anything yet. So coming in making demands is just – it's a bad precedent.
It is. It's just hard to blame them, too, though, when – I mean, if one school or several schools are offering them one thing and, I mean, we know – I mean, this even extends past just, you know, finances, right? I mean, we're talking airfare for family. We're talking vehicles. We're talking – I mean, I've even heard land in the equation or the conversation. So, I mean – I used to have that same kind of mentality where it's just like, man, you know, these guys are this, that. But then I realized, I'm like, man, you almost would be a fool not to take advantage of it while you can. You know what I mean? Like, I hate to say it like that, but if people are offering you this stuff and there's no rules or guidelines, I mean, like, why wouldn't you? Especially like I've been talking about this. I've been more vocal about this, just knowing what I know, but even being a former player. Like, I'm not saying they don't take care of former players, but shoot, if I... Man, listen, knowing how they treat these guys now, dude, I would take advantage of every little resource because you just, and you know this as good as I do. You know, when you're around the program, when you're playing, you're first class, everything. As soon as you're done, everything changes. So it's hard to knock these guys. But let me ask you this. What would be, you mentioned portal versus high school recruiting. What would be your balance? Because I think it depends, you know, number one, on the player. Also positions like Steve Sarkisian talked about. Offensive linemen, I would probably feel much more comfortable getting my linemen from the transfer portal because they're older, more mature, more experienced, more than likely, than high school recruiting. But I think it's also still important to have a core of good, solid young players from high school, which I think we have a pretty solid balance. I mean, if I had a nitpick, I would say maybe we could put a little bit more emphasis on some of the guys that we do bring in via the portal, maybe spend a little bit more money there. But I know there's, you got to have balance, right? And we recruit really well out of high school. If it was you, Brandon, you were the general manager, what would your approach be in terms of, you know, assembling a college football roster?
That's a great question. I would focus more on the four-star prospects. I would, at certain positions, so receiver, quarterback, I would then probably say I'd be going up to maybe one or two stars for each one of those, whatever I can get. But I want to make sure that that kid is committed to the university. They're not looking for the dollars. But those, you know, those four-star, three-star commitments, this is where everyone gets a little skittish when you start talking about three-star. There are a bunch of three-stars that have been very successful, but you have to develop them. So I would make sure that I have a staff that I trust that can develop the talent. In the portal, I completely agree with you. I would really, for me, I wouldn't touch an offensive lineman in the portal unless it's, you know, a Jordan Seaton that's coming out and he's, you know, he's already played 1 year and he's going to be a sophomore. I wouldn't touch an offensive lineman that has not had at least 2+ years of experience from the portal, unless it's just, you know, this guy has a lot of time, like the kid from Michigan that left that's coming over to us. You know, he had 1 year, but he basically redshirted. But I really wouldn't even go any. If you have not had 2+ years of experience, I'm not paying you any top dollar. I'm not paying you anything. I want to see the production. So from building a roster, if I had to, I would have some young guys, maybe 4 stars and below on the offensive line, but seeing that there's potential, maybe a guy that hasn't played a ton of football. But my starters are going to be guys that have been either established or developed through the program, or a combination of guys that have had those two plus years of starts. That way I'd have a veteran group up front. And then the D-line probably very similar, because I feel like it's hard to win with young guys up front in the trenches. It's just not something that can happen. But overall, I think you can kind of just, you know, mix and match. And depending on exactly what you need as far as defense, you just need, you know, got to have a great pass rush. So I would be willing to spend money there, because you don't necessarily need to have someone that's fully vested and embedded into the program. Is like, hey, this guy might be a mercenary that's coming in, but you got to be very careful when you do that, because you might, you know, piss off the guy that, you know, has been working his way up the ranks, and you're over here paying this guy top dollar, and I just haven't reached my peak yet. So that's the approach I would take. Focus on, you know, some of those more developmental prospects from high school, with the focus of maybe the stars at some of those key positions, receiver, running back, and quarterback, and then O-line, go ahead and go into the portal. Unless it's development, and then spend some money, but only if the guy's a proven commodity.
Brandon, I want to go back to something that came up. I think it was last week, and I know we didn't talk last week, so I wanted to get your thoughts on this. I know Coach DeBoer, he went on Greg McElroy's podcast, Always College Football, and they were talking about just a number of things, kind of expectations, where they're at, certain players, and all that good stuff. But one thing that came up was Greg had brought up his history. I think going back to Sioux Falls, they had at one point had like what Greg said was like the top rushing offense in the country. Coach DeBoer added that the following year they had the top passing, or one of the top passing offense in the country, basically alluding to the fact that, you know, it's all about adjusting the personnel and doing what's best for the team and the players that they do in fact have. But another theme that came up in that conversation was the physicality, and how that's something that they're really looking, you know, forward to seeing more of in year three, and that's kind of their goal moving along. But the reason I'm bringing this up, and my question for you is, it was almost worded as if, like, you know, it's been taking time to establish that, and they're trying to do that now. The reason it kind of confused me, because I always thought from my playing days, I mean, a lot of that comes from, number one, the people around you, whether it's the players and also the coaches, right? You got to have some enforcers on the staff. But is it your belief that it takes time to build physicality within your culture, or do you think, like I think, that's something that like for him as a head coach, that should be established like day one when you get here. Like that's like your job to set that tone. Even if you don't have good football players or good talent, that's, you know, effort and toughness. We've always said as football players, that doesn't require anything else but a mindset.
So you're not wrong, but I will tell you this. We have to be able to give a little bit of grace to Kalen DeBoer, and here's why. He came into an unprecedented situation. You're backfilling for the GOAT. You come in when the transfer portal cycle was going to be open one way. So you couldn't replace the players. You're trying to retain as much of the talent as you can while also establishing what your culture is going to be without pissing people off and having them just jump out. So his first 2 years, he's dealing and managing through that with some of Coach Saban's holdovers. Now this is his third year. This is his team. These are guys that have stayed or have been a part of the process for 2 years now. Coach Saban's guys have kind of been whittled out a little bit. Not to say that that's a good thing or bad thing, but he can turn up the temperature, and the people around him and his staff, they can turn up the temperature because these are guys that have bought into sticking it out. So it's hard. Like, the best way to describe it is I know you had friends come over your crib all the time, and I'm sure Pastor wanted to establish boundaries and rules up front, but if somebody's over there throwing rocks in the house and the glass breaks, who's going to get whooped? You, right? He can't put his hands on the other kid because he can, you know, say, I'm going to tell your parents, but he's not going to be able to do anything because that's not his kid. It is the same type of approach from Kalen DeBoer saying, I got to be very careful on how I even just establish like that physicality and getting pissed off, or having the guys around my staff getting pissed off and handling things a certain way, because we have to be very cautious because we can't lose the talent, because we're still trying to get credibility with some of these players on this team. And so in order to navigate that, we have to be very careful. So that was again, even how they handled Jalen Milroe, they're like, why wasn't he benched? This is a guy that stuck it out, that recruited guys to stay in. At any other normal situation, you are not wrong. Based off of some of the way he was playing towards the tail end of the year or the different ways he may have been doing it, you may have saw a switch. But he couldn't do that, right? You can't do that. The guys are watching to see how you treat the people that are showing loyalty. And so if you show disloyalty to the person that's been loyal to you and sacrificed money because he could have left and got paid more, and he's sticking out, same thing with Ty Simpson, those guys don't forget that. So then you lose credibility when all of a sudden people say, hey, man, trust me, I believe in you, I'm doing this, just ride it out with me. They're like, I saw how you did somebody that was trying to be loyal to you. You can't coach me the way you think you can coach me because I don't trust you. So he's built and established trust over these 2.5 years. Now year three, this is going to be the telltale sign, but I agree with you. You got to show up pissed off. Coaches can't really instill that in you. So the leaders on the team, that's where I'm looking at. And I'm hoping that they now have people there within leadership on the team that will bring a different type of mentality, because that's something that has been missing, where you don't have the Deron Payne's. You don't have these people that are coming in and really just setting the tone. And do we have that on the team right now? I don't know. I think you'll find out sooner than the rest of us because you'll be around there for summer camp. So those are the types of questions I'll be asking you, Christian, when you get around the team and seeing how they kind of move and operate. Because I'm like, I don't care what the coaches could bring all the fire they want to. What are the players doing? How are they holding people accountable? Are you seeing all those people fight because someone messed up? Right. That's the type of stuff I'm hoping you can start looking out for whenever you get over there. Because I'm like, look, Ryan's going to be one of the leaders on the team. He don't strike me as somebody who's going to put his hands on nobody. You know what I mean? He's the guy who's going to pat you on the back. Like, hey, man, it's going to be okay. Like, everything's cool. And then the quarterbacks, too, also have laid-back personalities. But I don't know, right? We got to see them in the fire. So you'll be the first one that I ask about that, man. I'm like, I think Clem is going to bring the heat that you're talking about, and he's going to push people. And I think Michael Carroll had that in him. So when you start seeing some of these guys get pissed off and start just getting on people, I want to see how the coaches respond. I want to see how the players respond.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're 100% right. I mean, I don't know exactly who those guys might be right now. I'm trying to think. I mean, you look at offense and you got to wonder who is going to step up, because they're really young offensively, like extremely young. I think there's only, what, 3 returning starters. And I mean, before Noah Rogers transferred in at wide receiver, Ryan Williams, Coleman Williams, was literally like the vet in the room. And we all know he's kind of a baby himself. So, I mean, they don't have a bunch of old, experienced players on offense, so we'll have to see. But it doesn't age doesn't really matter, man. It's really about mindset. But I will say this. I'll give you that. On year one, you're right. I'm sure you do have to move a certain way because, you know, that's not really that you're inheriting a roster. You probably do have to navigate a certain way. I give you that. But I got to give a little bit of pushback, man. Year two, I don't know if I can sit there and say, well, the team wasn't tough enough or they didn't have enough physicality because he's still trying to get in this groove. To me, I'm like, that's got to come from the top. That's got to come from the guys. You got to instill that in them. And there just has to be that type of spirit to your team. I don't know. That's the only part that I was like, I don't know if I can understand that part. Cause I'm just like, man, I've always had it where we, for example, I got a new high school head coach. Our high school was terrible. Before I got to Spring Valley High School, we didn't win hardly any football games. We had a year where I think we went 0-12, whatever it was. Then won one game like the next year. We got a new coach. You can ask my dad about it. Matter of fact, he coached at Clemson. His name was Miles Aldridge. He coached there back in the day. Dude did nothing but smoke Newports and drink Diet Coke and yell at us. His teeth were all messed up. Dude literally would, the meeting room stank, and he would just chew us out, cuss us out. Like he was probably tougher than Coach Saban. That was my high school coach. I'm telling you right now, Brandon, he inherited a bunch of players that weren't very good football players. They hardly won any games. And guess what? He made sure we were tough, though. We might have, like, granted, my first year, we went like 5-something. We won 5 games. But you get my point. It came from him. We took on his attitude. And we eventually, my senior year, we went undefeated in the regular season. So I do think there is a lot when it comes from whoever is the leader. That is one thing. But other than that, I do agree that sometimes it still does take a little bit of time. Brandon, I appreciate you as always, man. Great to catch up. Hope you have a great rest of your week, man. Look forward to hopefully doing it next week, man.
Hey, same to you, Christian. One last thing before you leave. I will say this. That coach, take that same coach you just said in high school and move him over to Alabama. He doesn't have to take the same approach because you have guys that have that instilled in them. You can take a different approach. When you got losers, you got to change the loser mentality. Alabama doesn't have losers, right? And there's no loser mentality there. These guys really want to do well. I think it's more so anxiety-based, which is a different conversation. We'll talk about it more next week, but there's no loser mentality at Alabama. That's not a thing because they've been winning. Sure. And I think they have anxiety of winning, just like that Coach Saban started experiencing toward the tail end of his career. So keep that in mind. Your coach had to come in with the Newports and really dig in because you're dealing with people that have losing mentality. You can't operate the same way that you would do with somebody that knows how to do business, which is why NFL pros, you don't have to yell at them. They know what it is. You set the stage, you set the standard, you let them know exactly what the plays are going to be, and it's their job to go execute. That's why those coaches like Nick Saban don't succeed, and Bill Belichick are not going to succeed in the NFL like they used to, because you're not going to talk to a grown man a certain way. Like, bro, I know what I'm doing. You lead the way, we'll follow, but we need you to respect us, and we'll respect you. So I appreciate the disagreement, but keep that in mind, though. Like that, we 0-12, I get it. Everybody getting their hands cut off. When you're coming off and you went to the playoffs, you have a different mentality because these guys know how to win. So now you're trying to establish your culture within a winning culture. That is a unique challenge within itself. So, yeah, you and I, we'll top it up some more next week and talk about it. But just keep that in mind.
That's a good point, man. I always appreciate the conversation, Brandon.
Absolutely, bro. Hey, roll tide and talk to y'all next week.
Yes, sir. Sounds like a plan, man. We got to hit a timeout. Big shout out to Brandon Clear who joined us on Thursdays. We come back, we keep rolling. Plus, we got Adam at the top of the hour. We'll keep the conversation going right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Gary Harris. Friday morning at 9 a.m., we're going to have some fun. The TGIF edition of the show with all that great news to get you ready for the weekend. Plus, we'll recap Alabama-Florida baseball SEC tournament quarterfinals, and we'll look ahead to the NCAA Tuscaloosa Super Regional softball tournament between Alabama and LSU. Some great guests and your phone calls as well. Let's have some fun Friday morning at 9 a.m.
Catch the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTVC and on the Tide 100.9 app. Weekdays from 9 to 11.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian.
By Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Find adventure, power, and performance today at Tuscaloosa Jeep Dodge Ram.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Showers and storms are likely here next several days, and we could see some locally heavy downpours. It could lead to flash flooding. 83 our high this afternoon, 67 tonight. Friday's high 81, the holiday weekend a wash. Rain and storms in the forecast. Daytime temperatures in the mid-80s, nighttime lows in the mid-60s, and that trend continues all the way into Tuesday. Richard Wedding at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Did you miss any episode on Tide 100.9? Don't worry. All of our shows can be found on Spotify and Apple Music and on demand on the Tide 100.9 app.
Back in real quick for you at the top of the hour break, where we will be joined by Mr. Adam Lamparello, Lamparello Law, Education, and Advocacy. Big thanks to Brandon Clear, who just joined us via the phone lines. Before we hit this top of the hour break, let me remind you about our friends over at R&R Cigars. Make sure you guys go check them out. I know it's a little rainy today, but you got summer weather coming up. It's going to be great to go hang out on that porch. They've got any cigar that you can think of in the humidor, best humidor in the Southeast. And of course, you can always pair over 160 bourbons with that cigar right there. Drink responsibly. I mentioned the porch, wraparound porch, is downtown Tuscaloosa. Really nice spot. If you haven't been there, go check it out. Great hangout spot to watch sports, talk sports. It's a great environment. I think you guys really enjoy it. So make sure you take advantage of that. And also take advantage of that code, Miller's Edge, their website, onourcigars.com. Code Miller's Edge will get you a big discount. And if your order qualifies, you will also get free shipping as well. So make sure you guys pay them a visit, check them out, or pay that website a visit, because I know you got some holidays coming up and it's a great gift idea. So use that code and get yourself a nice discount. Code Miller's Edge on our cigars, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. Top hour break is here. When we come back, we'll be joined by Mr. Adam Lamparello. We'll keep talking about Courtney Morgan's thoughts on how they're managing some of these official visits and more right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles,
in the NBA, the two-time MVP Shea Gilgeous-Alexander dropped 30 points to go along with 9 assists as the Thunder defeated the Spurs in Game 2, 122-113. The Spurs as a team had 21 turnovers.
I mean, we didn't do a great job at it today, but we need some points for sure. Taking care of the ball, helping, you know, the main ball handlers, and being aggressive, just like we were in the third quarter.
That was Victor Wembanyama, who ended with 21 points and 17 rebounds. In the Stanley Cup West Final, Game 1, the Golden Knights defeated the Avalanche 4-2. In baseball, Shohei Ohtani with a leadoff home run and 5 scoreless innings pitched as the Dodgers blanked the Padres 4-0. And in college football, Ed Orgeron is returning to LSU as an assistant on Lane Kiffin's staff.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at AndrewsportsMedicine.com.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome back into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Big thanks to Brandon Clear, who just joined us via the phone lines. And now we're joined by our next guest, very special guest, Mr. Lamparello himself, who is the man behind Lamparello Law Studios, where I'm hanging out in right now. And of course, Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Make sure you guys check out that website, lamparello-law.com. Again, all that information right there for you. Talks about what they do, not only legal representation, any criminal defense matter, NIL, academic misconduct. They've got you covered. They'll do it for very affordable rates. They'll fight for you with genuine care and passion. But they also offer other services for high school, college, and graduate students, whether that be academic and career planning, exam and test taking preparation, subject matter mastery, and the list goes on. So if you guys want to schedule a consultation, find out more information, or just set up a call with Adam. Just talk to him. He's a cool dude. You guys hear him every Thursday. Check out that website, lamparello-law.com. Again, that's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. And, of course, Mr. Adam Lamparello joins us now. Adam, good Thursday to you.
Hey, how you doing? It's great to be here, and thanks, as always, for the support.
Oh, no, thank you, man. Seriously, we appreciate it. And I know we talked via the chat, but you made your way to Columbia, and actually, and you called in, too. We got to talk, which is cool. Glad that worked out. I think he shined that helmet up for you or something. It looked all like nice and clean and gleamed up. You have it right there? Oh, there it is.
Right here. Corey Miller, 1991 helmet. 8 years for the Giants, was part of the fantastic linebacking core and just a great player. And I got the South Carolina jersey.
Now, is that a Warren jersey or is that a...
Yes, this is his jersey from when he played.
Dang. Wait, dang, that's dang.
There was another person at the event that tried to outbid me, and I was like, no, not happening.
They wanted that jersey, huh?
It was such a cool jersey, but I was really honored to be there. He was just wonderful, and the event was great, and very lucky to have this kind of memorabilia. So,
thank you. That's cool, man. No, dude, that's awesome, man. Listen, and he said that was like his like rookie helmet, like training camp helmet, which is kind of crazy. I was like, man, you sure you want to send that off? But the fact that you have it is awesome, because you already know that thing is going to be taken great care of, man. It's going to be nice and in good hands.
Absolutely. But I will say this, you know, if Corey ever wants it back, you know, it's more than welcome to have it, because I know it's a sentimental value. So consider it on loan.
Oh, no. No, listen, if he made that decision, I think he's good. Listen, he's always been interesting with that stuff, man. Like, I remember growing up, he would have, like, jerseys and helmets that he would just kind of have laying around. I'm like, man, you don't want to, like, put that up like a certain thing. He just always has a million things going on. But I do know recently he started to kind of have that stuff, like, get better value. Like, okay, he holds it a little bit more sentimental to him, which is good, because I'm like, man, I'm like, dude, you got to keep, like, I'm like the opposite. Like, anytime I play the game, I'm like, I'm keeping these gloves. Like, this has some type of significance. Like, I have a box in storage, man, that just has a bunch of just Alabama gloves, towels, the programs, you know. So they actually passed out programs to us as well in the locker room. Every time we played a game, whether it was home or away, they would have a program for us, because they would have, you know, details on the other roster, depth chart, stuff like that. So I used to save all that stuff, man. Like, I've always been like that type of guy. But I love the fact that you have this. So that's so cool. But Adam, we were talking about Courtney Morgan in his quote, and he talked about, listen, with recruiting nowadays, we know, I mean, guys are even charging us to come on visits, and we know there's a big, you know, discussion to be had when it comes to, hey, what are the terms? You're very familiar with this as a legal expert like you are. You know, if you can't come to terms, it almost seems like it's not even worth it. That's exactly what Courtney Morgan said. If we can't come to terms ahead of time, we'll just cancel an official visit. I feel like a lot of people have a lot of respect for this. What are your thoughts on it, Adam? And do you see, I mean, I'm sure you agree with that. I think I saw you say that in the chat, but do you see any, not like downsides, but maybe something like that? The only thing I thought of was maybe a couple things. And one that I didn't mention was, down the line, you know how the transfer portal works. It's very common, actually, for if a guy signs with one program and then maybe a couple years later, he's back in the portal. I'm not saying just because they take a visit that won't come back around, but you probably want to practice being in good faith with as many kids as possible, especially if you like the kid, because you just never know. You know, they might be in the portal next year, could be 2 years from now, and it could always circle back, and you might get them at a much better bargain. I'll give you the example of what's the young man that just from Michigan, the offensive lineman that we just brought on. You guys mentioned him in the chat earlier, but you got it, Reed?
Yeah, are you talking about Ty Haywood?
Thank you. Ty Haywood. He chose Michigan out. He was committed to us, ended up flipping to Michigan, and then we just signed him back out of the portal. Now, and I want to be clear. I'm not saying Courtney Morgan canceling visits means he's acting in bad faith or, like, ticking people off. But if I had to say maybe one of the few downsides, maybe that's part of it. Like, maybe, you know, mess with chances down the road. But your thoughts, Adam, on what Courtney Morgan had to say?
My thoughts are he's doing exactly the right thing. If they can't afford a player, they should not have an official visit. But there's a lot more problems going on with this. First of all, the nerve of these players. It used to be an honor and a privilege to be able to play for the University of Alabama. Now you got these players and their agents giving orders and thinking that they can demand $1 million, $2 million, $3 million. Well, my question is, what have they done? I don't care if they're at IMG or Bergen Catholic. What have they done to justify any salary whatsoever? And how is it going to play with, like, the Bray Hubbards, the London Simmons, the Austin Max, when somebody comes onto the field as a true freshman making millions of dollars and haven't proven anything? If I were the players, I would say, you know what? You may be a five-star athlete, but you're going to be seeing a lot more stars in practice when, you know, we show you how to play football. My point being, I don't like the power dynamic where these kids and their agents are calling the shots because they haven't proven anything. And while we should have good relations with them, what we should tell them is that at the University of Alabama, it's an honor to play here. And we will pay you what we can, but we're not going to chase after you because we have pride in our program. And that's why development of the players is so critical, because you're not going to get all the five stars, but you should be sending a message about your reputation as a university. We don't chase after players, just as, like we don't chase after the girl. We stand on business. And if you don't want to come to Alabama and you don't want to play for the Crimson Tide, we don't want you.
I think you're 100% right, because it used to mean something. Not saying it doesn't anymore, but it probably doesn't mean as much as it once did. And I'm not saying it's because of Alabama or anything they did, or maybe they haven't won as much. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when money's involved, these kids started turning a blind eye to things that they typically, in the past, probably, like for me, like, I thought the tradition was cool. Did I sit there and value it, meaning like, oh, I want to go back and look up every record that Alabama said through the 70s? No, but just knowing, you know, the history of this program and how it was, you know, viewed as like the mecca of college football, and all the national championships and conference championships that are littered throughout the hallways, like that used to mean something. And I just know nowadays, you know, I don't think that has more significance than a school offering $1 million. Unfortunately, that's just how these kids operate, you know, and that's just how it is. I hate that it's like that. But I think what Courtney Morgan's, with his stance on this, it helps kind of preserve some of that, to keep it where, hey, this is Alabama, and we kind of we take pride in what we're doing and what we can afford you guys. Because I do know, to be clear, Alabama finds ways to maybe compensate for maybe not just handing out lucrative deals. The brand itself is very big. They can use the brand to go find third-party deals and really market these guys. The marketability at Alabama, I would argue, is probably greater than majority of other schools. Not saying you can't go be marketable at Oregon, but we all know all eyes are on Alabama. That brand holds weight all over the world. So that is also something to consider.
I completely agree. And I think another issue is, you know, these are young kids, and we need to be teaching them life lessons. And one of those life lessons is, you know, you have to really work hard and go through the process of grinding and struggling to be successful. When you're throwing money at them like this, it threatens to affect those values. And how is that going to serve them well if they don't make the NFL, or if they get hurt, or if they, you know, coast NFL life? And I think that that's also a problem. If it were me, I wouldn't just refuse to offer them money. I would take money from them. And I would say, you know what? We're not coming here to give you anything. We're taking it all away.
Charge them a toll.
You're going to have to earn it to get there. And I think, what a better person you become, an even more successful person, when you have to go through a war to achieve success rather than having it handed to you. But I guess I'm 50 years old, you know, I'm old school. I love Bear Bryant. Maybe I'm just behind the times, but that's the way I would do things for their, not only football career, but their lives.
Yeah, no, and you're right. That is another point. I think you do help teach those types of lessons when you kind of have these approaches. I mean, when you're just handing things out, I've never liked that myself, because you're right. I mean, things that are worth having normally come at a cost. You know, I normally have to work for something. And nowadays, man, I mean, golly, it's you want it? Yeah, here you go. As long as you come play football here, man. You want a house? Your mom needs a house. It's like, here's a car. Like, it's out of this world, it seems like. But that's why I do respect what Courtney Morgan's doing. And clearly, his approach, it works, right? We've had back-to-back top five recruiting classes, and they've done some really good stuff since they've been here. So I think it's smart. We got to hit the top now. There's another thing I was going to throw out there real quick. We want to get to this top 100 list with you, Adam, but I got to get your thoughts, too, on the whole Sorsby thing. I know you were in the chat the other day, but now that we have you on here, I want to maybe ask you just kind of your thoughts on his situation. If you think there is any chance at all that he could maybe be deemed, I guess, eligible again, or maybe what a potential outcome could be. I did see, since we had that show, the judge that was initially assigned, I think, recused himself of the case. I don't know what the latest is on it now, but we'll take a look at that, talk about the top 100 and more when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. We're joined by Mr. Adam Lamparello.
For a great way to spend the day on the water, Redline Power Sports rents pontoons on Lake Tuscaloosa by calling 205-737-7425. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Showers and storms are likely here next several days, and we could see some locally heavy downpours. It could lead to flash flooding. 83 our high this afternoon, 67 tonight. Friday's high 81, the holiday weekend awash. Rain and storms in the forecast. Daytime temperatures in the mid-80s, nighttime lows in the mid-60s, and that trend continues all the way into Tuesday. Richard Webbing at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Your front row seat to all things Alabama.
Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're joined by Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, official representation here on the show. Make sure you guys check out that website, lamparello-law.com, for all your representation needs and more, all those services as well. Adam, we had that chat that I just was reading, and basically their response to what Courtney Morgan said is from JM. He said, come on, man, this is a business trade-up, transactional approach, and Alabama needs to keep winning or our reputation will slide. My response to JM's response was, well, the reality is Alabama's reputation has already started sliding some. I mean, over the last few years, even if you go back to, there was a slight slide, I would argue, Coach Saban's last couple of years. At first, it was about being undisciplined. Remember that whole argument, the narrative, or not narrative, it was just a fact. Alabama faced like a record number of penalties. They were undisciplined. That's an uncharacteristic thing of a Nick Saban coach team. Then it became Alabama doesn't look as physical as they once did. I mean, I remember hearing a little bit of that even before Coach DeBoer got here. It wasn't as loud, but there was some rumblings of it, given our offensive line play was not great. It was really more so the trench play has just gone down some. What is your take on that, Adam, in terms of the last part he mentioned? Alabama needs to keep winning or the reputation will slide. We all can agree they definitely need to keep winning or will slide, but do you feel like it has slid? And I guess the next question is, how much more can it slide before it feels like it's like, oh man, we're a little bit out? Because I feel like we're still like, we slid, Adam, but I feel like we're still kind of in that realm like where it's salvageable, right? You have a great year number three under Kalen DeBoer, and I think you can right the ship. But we all know it can go the other way too. What are your thoughts on that?
The reputation has slid slightly, but Alabama is still elite, still among the best teams in the country every year, and historically is still the best program in the country. And I respectfully disagree that we should be adapting and changing. No, what we need to do is, instead of catering to these kids, we need to establish and reaffirm the core identity of the University of Alabama, which was tough players who grinded it out and beat the heck out of their opponents week in and week out. We still have great recruiting classes, but with that identity, that's the path to physicality and getting back to Alabama football. So no, I don't think we should be chasing the new norm. I think we should be reaffirming the old school way that Alabama did things and that brought championships to Alabama.
Adam, now, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just gonna say, you know, when people say we slid, let's remember that Coach Saban was arguably the greatest coach of all time. And under him, we won six national championships. And those teams from around 2012-13 to 2020 were teams that were extraordinary. The slide is minimal, and the slide has also affected every other college football team. There's been a change in the culture in this country and the way that kids are raised and kids are taught, and that's infecting every program. So it's not a problem exclusive to Alabama, and the future is still bright.
That's a great point, because we discussed the quotes from that anonymous coach the other day, and I saw that there was more anonymous coach quotes out there regarding other schools, coaches, and one was Georgia, and they were questioning the depth that Kirby Smart's Georgia football teams now have, right? That's definitely taken a hit. Kirby has discussed that at great length, talking about, hey, it's hard to really have solid depth nowadays due to the transfer portal, right? I mean, you know, the days of where, you know, guys like myself that were top recruits out of high school, be Reuben Foster, Reggie Ragland, we were waiting 3 years just to become starters. You no longer have that. Players like us that I just mentioned, we would have probably been, you know, recruited and poached by another team for a whole bunch of money in a starting position. So that is true, and I agree with you. I think that is why a number of teams have kind of, quote-unquote, slid. Adam, my follow-up is, I know you talk a lot about physicality. You talk a lot about playing with that intensity. Well, I had a question that came up when we were discussing something, whether yesterday or the day before, and it basically was this. I mean, Alabama fans are speaking so much about wanting to see the run game come back, you know, hard-nosed football, you know, physicality in the trenches, right? Just that demeanor when they take the field, and consistently. My biggest question was, if you had to maybe pick, right, obviously you love the best of both worlds. You would love a very physical team that's winning a lot of football games. But I just wonder, would the conversation be a little bit different if, you know, because we saw improvement year one and year two, but people are griping about the lack of physicality, and it makes total sense because that's needed to have a good football team. You got to have that, especially at a place like Alabama. It's almost a non-negotiable. But my question is, do you think fans would have a little bit more, I guess, reserve, or have a little bit more patience with this staff? Not to say not all of them don't have that, but we, and there's a lot of fans that have, you know, voiced their frustrations. Say we went 9-3 again in year two, but the team looked very physical. You had three losses, but they were really close games, and it was, you know, you're fighting tooth and nail. You're out there running the football extremely well, but you lost three games. But the team is playing the way that you want them to play. How would you feel about that? What would you prefer? What we saw last year, year two, where they made progress, won more football games, but there were those, you know, concerns? Or would you have rather saw a year two where, hey, it looked like old Alabama, but they didn't quite get the job done?
Well, I think you have to be flexible based on the opponents you're playing and the current culture of college football. I think that if we were a more physical team and went 9-3, fans would still complain and call for his firing. Yep. And the physicality wouldn't matter. Because wins ultimately matter. And I think you said this on a show once, which is there might be different paths to victory, and you have to be adaptable that way. Maybe we won't be as physical, but we will, you know, have great skill players and have great schemes and be able to stop teams on third down. So there's a lot of intangible and tangible things that go into it. But no, physicality alone is not going to necessarily lead to more wins. And if we were physical and didn't have more wins, the fan base would be furious. I think the key is that physicality is kind of like the building block. It's sufficient, but it's not enough. There has to be, the whole nine yards have to be in it. And it begins with the culture. And the culture and these players wanting to play with a chip on their shoulder and be hungry to win a national championship. The teams that won it recently, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio State, physical, hungry, great skill players. So it takes an entire, it's like building a house. You have to have all the rooms polished before you win the, you know, before you win the award. So physicality is a part of it, but it's not the all end all.
Yeah, no, and you're 1,000% correct, right? I just, that crossed my mind. So I'm like, man, as much as people talk about wanting to see that physicality back, I'm like, would that be enough to kind of calm them a little bit or buy them a little bit more time? But I agree with you. I think clearly you want both, right? Because like you said, the physicality with the talent that we have, especially at the skill spots, like you just mentioned, you would think that that's a pretty good recipe to be a successful football program. And so hopefully that is what ends up happening. Adam, I mentioned that top 100 list. So I'm going to throw this on the screen real quick. So I don't think I should have put it on here before you got a chance to read it. Now I'm scrolling down fast like this because through the top 20 players they have listed, they didn't have somebody from Alabama. Matter of fact, the first one comes all the way down at number 49. And that ends up being, it is, there it is, Yonze Pierre, Alabama edge, at number 49. He is the first Alabama player to have his name on this top 100 list. Again, this comes from On3, subjective, right? Just them, you know, compiling a list. Which, to be fair, they've got a guy like Trinidad Chambliss at 45. I mean, I couldn't disagree with that anymore. So even Mensa at 44, like we mentioned the other day, there's so many players in college football. I mean, you can't have everybody in the top 10 list. It don't work like that. But when you see Alabama only having one guy in the top 50, Adam, I know it's subjective, but what do you make of that? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's great. I really do. I think it's awesome because what a message Kalen DeBoer can deliver to his players, that whoever ranked these players probably doesn't know what they're talking about. And sure, the rankings, I'm sure, are inaccurate. We should have been higher. But what a great message that people do not think one player on this team is in the top 48 players. So what I would do is I would make them run 48 40s. I would say, now for number 49, you can just sit here and ask yourself, after 48 40s, how do you feel being number 49? And then it's the fuel that will light the fire. So in a way, I totally disagree with it, but in a way, I see the opportunity to make it something special. And I also want to just say that I believe in player safety, so I've never anything like that. So, you know.
We always used to have like the paramedics on standby. I mean, they probably knew. Yeah, you know, running 20-some 110s in this heat probably is a little bit of a dangerous thing. So we'll just make sure we got Ed and the crew just on hand, just in case somebody falls out, which definitely has happened. I watched several teammates literally just fall flat out and get not stretchered off, but whatever they did, it was a little scary. But I guess it builds toughness. Real quick, the rest of this list. So Jan St. Pierre was the top Alabama player on list at number 49, like we discussed with Adam a second ago. Bray Hubbard comes in at number 58. Michael Carroll at number 59. So they do have three in the top 60, at least. And again, this is just a subjective list. So, I mean, don't get too mad at it, guys. Let me see. I'll be honest. I didn't even get all the way down this far. Do we have any more? Yes, we've got. Well, that's interesting. Keon Sapp rounding out Alabama's players in this top 100 list. So they end up with four. Which, Adam, I'll be honest with you. Just off of the players that they chose, I'm not too sure how. I feel like if you have Keon Sapp at 95, Keon Sapp, I think, is a good football player. I think he had a little bit of a down year last year. I know he had fought some injuries at the end of, the 24 season, and maybe that had an effect on him. But I just don't see how you exclude Xavien Brown. Yeah. From this list. I mean, that's if I had to make a critique, I mean, that's probably the most glaring one. And again, they had Yonze at 48, Bray Hubbard at 50-something, and then Michael Carroll. And then they rounded it off with Keon Sapp at 95. I think Xavien Brown, without a doubt, deserves a spot there. Is there any other players that you would maybe think of, Adam, on this team currently? I know we can all say, like, you know, Keelan Russell, if he's a starter and has a great year, we all can agree he's, without a doubt, probably going to be a top 20 guy going into next season. But as of now, are there any players that you feel like they might have missed? Oh, wait, Ryan Williams.
I was just going to say, where's Ryan Williams? Yeah.
Damn, they didn't even have him on the top one. I knew something fell off, but Ryan Coleman Williams, that's
unbelievable.
Wow.
And I would say to the team, you know, it's May 21st. The first game doesn't begin for another 3 or so months. You know, how we are now is not how we're going to be on the, you know, first game of the season. So what's the players going to do in the next 3 months to elevate their game, the culture, and the physicality? Because we have the talent to compete with any team in the country. But I think the decisive factor is not, oh, do we have the best players or not? It's how are the players going to attack this summer?
100%. And at the end of the day, these lists mean nothing. But like you said, use them as motivation. Use them as fuel if that's what you want to do. I'm just trying to wrap my head around. You're right. I didn't even think about that until we both just said that at the same time. Ryan Coleman Williams not on that list. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, maybe we'll we'll ask that question. I mean, is that right that he's not on the top 100 list? Because on one hand, I mean, I can understand he struggled last season. He still was a very productive. I think he still was a second leading receiver. I mean, I think he's pushing, 700, 800 yards, something like that. He missed a game with the concussion. He had no targets, I think, in the Iron Bowl. There's times they hardly even utilized him, and he still was, you know, pretty solid, you know, productive player. But to leave him out of the top 100, Adam, I don't know. I want to get Chad's thoughts and anybody else listening, 205-342-9904. Ryan Williams. Yeah, and Ryan Coleman Williams.
I disagree with everyone in the top five except for one player.
And that way, let me go back. So the top five. Who would you have as your top five, Adam?
My number one would be Malachi Toney. And the rest of them, I would have Jeremiah Smith at number two. But Dante Moore on that list, no, I would not have him there. I think he still needs to develop. He's got amazing talent. Leonard Moore, nope, I wouldn't have him. And I would have, I would probably have Cam Coleman higher.
That's a good, maybe we'll talk about our top five when we come back as well. We're joined by Mr. Adam Lamprella of Lamprella Law Education and Advocacy. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
The $10 Bucket of the Day deal. Every weekday, only at KFC. It's finger-licking good.
Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. Tax extra.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamprella Law Education and Advocacy. Founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamprella, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites, from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Breaking news, bold opinions, and pure Crimson Tide spirit.
Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
TBC. We're joined by Adam Lamprella of Lamprella Law Education Advocacy. Check out that website right now. Schedule yourself a visit with Mr. Adam, and you can get all your questions answered. But of course, they got all the information right there as well if you want to give it a look at lamprella-law.com. Adam, we're going over this top 100 list of college football players, and we got all the way to 100 and realized, excuse me, there was no Ryan Coleman Williams anywhere to be found. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My question is, I mean, is are they right with that? Are they completely flat out wrong? Like, I want to, you know, look at this from an unbiased perspective. Of course, we're all, you know, Alabama fans here. which on one end kind of makes you a little biased, but two, it also means you've seen him up close. I feel like maybe other people, I'm sure they watch a lot of Alabama games, but probably not to the extent like we might, given we're all fans here. But having him outside the top 100, to me, I feel like that's criminal, Adam. I'm going to pull up his numbers from last season because I think people forget this. Now, it's easy to focus on the negatives, and I completely understand, especially when you're doing breakdowns and you're offering a critique. He had 49 receptions, 689 yards, so he was shy of 700, but still 400 touchdowns. last football season, missed a game due to injury. Also, just was literally not even involved in the game plan in at least one, if not two games. So his targets probably were down, which we understand. He struggled with some drops. But Cam Coleman, I want to pull up his stats from last season because I think somebody mentioned that he might not have even – what were his stats from last season? That's the wrong Cam Coleman. That Cam Coleman was from another football team. How would you compare those two, Adam, Cam Coleman and Ryan Coleman-Williams?
Ryan Williams is better. Ryan Williams should have been in the top 20, and Ryan Williams is going to be the next Devontae Smith at Alabama. He is that good. And the best thing that could have happened to him was last year because it's going to force him to grow, to regain his confidence and discover his potential. The worst thing that happened to him was the Georgia game the first year when he was the star of that game. But, you know, as a young person, you need to get knocked down before you can really reach the heights that you need to reach. And I think last year is the gift that is going to show you this year. He's the best in the country. And he's going to be the next Devontae Smith and best receiver in the SEC.
So when you say next Devontae Smith, I mean, I remember people were making those comparisons, right, when he was a recruit, similar body types, right? We know they're both slim guys. They're not very big physically, but, you know, they make a lot of big-time plays, big-time catches. I mean, I thought he has better yards after the catch ability than Smitty, but Smitty probably was a little bit smoother in terms of route running and just a little mechanics. But I understand why people kind of would look at the two of them, at least physically, and say that. But when you say that, though, Adam, I mean, Smitty had a Heisman campaign his final season in Tuscaloosa. I mean, are you saying you believe Ryan Coleman-Williams makes that type of return year three? I mean, we know. I mean, you said it. I mean, this is a big year for him. He's probably got all the motivation in the world, whether it's, you know, going off of how he played last season or even just the fact that he probably wants to get to the next level, and now he's able to. What do you mean by a Smitty-type season? Because those are big expectations.
He is going to have a season similar to Devontae Smith's last season when he had that amazing catch against LSU. And I predict that Ryan Williams will not drop a single pass this year. And I know it sounds crazy.
Whoa.
He's going to be like Devontae Smith because I would bet money on it that he was literally sick over last year and how much it affected him because he didn't live up to his potential. He's a man on a mission. He's got the talent. He's got the drive. And he will be one of the top 10 players in the country this year.
Adam, I just pulled up Smitty's stats, man, and these are the expectations you're setting for Mr. Ryan Coleman-Williams. In 2020, Devontae Smith had, through 13 games, remember, they didn't even play as many games because now you have a few extra, 117 receptions for 1,856 yards in 23 touchdowns. So, he's got a...
I'm predicting he gets 121 receptions, does not score as many touchdowns, but is on the level of Devontae Smith and makes spectacular catches, yards after catch, because for the first time in his life, and that he's never happened before in his life, he actually has something to prove. He comes to Alabama as a freshman. Jalen Milroe throws him this pass against Georgia. He outruns the defender. He's the hero. That's the worst thing that could happen. Now he's been knocked down, and for the first time in your life, you're going to see what he really is as a person. And I suspect it's going to be something special. And if I'm wrong, well, then maybe I'll be allowed on the show anymore. But that's my prediction.
No. You always no. You're welcome. No, listen. If Ryan has that type of year, you can pencil Alabama in being a national title contender, in my opinion. I mean, if he's having that type of year, that means whoever's at quarterback is having a big year. If one of your receivers is going off for, even if you just say 1,500, I mean, that's something. Now, I guess that doesn't really give us an indication on what the running game looks like, so I probably need to pump the brakes a little bit. But if he's got that type of season, man, I think you're probably in good shape. Because I feel like defense – there's not as I still have some concerns. A lot of new faces. I mean, got to see how that looks. But yeah,
Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe like one of your comments said, I'm out on a limb. But you know, when you set expectations that high, it's shocking how you see people can achieve them. If I was DeBoer right now, I would immediately change everyone's jersey to the number 49. Now this is where we're starting. Where we're going to end up is with a national title. And don't think Alabama can't win a national title if everything comes together.
No, if it comes together, I mean, I think they're definitely in that conversation. It's just right now there's a question mark. So naturally, it's hard for people to probably see that. But I mean, I wonder what was Indiana's like over under last season. Reed, do you know that by chance? I mean, we probably have to look that up. I'm curious, what was Indiana's over-under going into the year? Like, what were the expectations for that Indiana team? Because, to be fair, they made the playoffs the year prior, right? But they lost to, was it Notre Dame? Maybe in round one or whatever it was? I mean, so I assume, and given their schedule, they probably were expected to be like a 10-2 type team. I don't think anybody really thought that they would be an undefeated national championship team. So never say never. But, yeah, I mean.
I was going to say, it says that the win total, even despite the whole 11 win campaign the year prior, was 8.5.
For Indiana last season? Wow.
Yeah, according to BetMGM and FanDuel.
Wow. So that's what Alabama's is sitting at right now. Alabama's sitting at, right? Alabama's at 8.5, right? They're not at 9.5. They're at 8.5. So who knows? Maybe they recreate what if they're going to do that, they need to get a lot more physical, run the ball a lot better. But one can have hope, I guess.
Well, if Indiana played the 2016 Alabama team that beat Clemson for the national title, they would lose by 3 to 4 touchdowns. And it says something that with not outstanding players, they were able to win a national title. So if they can do it, certainly the Tide can.
Absolutely. Well, we've done it before, so it's not something we haven't seen before. We got to hit one more time out. We come back. We wrap things up on this Thursday edition with our guy, Mr. Adam Lamprella, right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBCO. One thing I forgot to mention, there's a familiar face back in Baton Rouge. Not only do you have Lane Kiffin in town, who's a new face, they brought back an old one. I'll tell you who that guy is when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey everybody, it's Gary Harris. Friday morning at 9 a.m. We're going to have some fun. The TGIF edition of the show with all that great music. Get you ready for the weekend. Plus, we'll recap Alabama, Florida baseball, SEC tournament quarterfinals. And we'll look ahead to the NCAA Tuscaloosa Super Regional softball tournament between Alabama and LSU. Some great guests and your phone calls as well. Let's have some fun Friday morning at 9 a.m.
The $10 Bucket of the Day deal. Every weekday, only at KFC. It's finger-licking good.
Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. Tax extra.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Showers and storms are likely here next several days, and we could see some locally heavy downpours. It could lead to flash flooding. 83 our high this afternoon, 67 tonight. Friday's high 81, the holiday weekend a wash. Rain and storms in the forecast. Daytime temperatures in the mid-80s, nighttime lows in the mid-60s, and that trend continues all the way into Tuesday. Richard DeWetting at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 76 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Yes! Roll Tide all the time.
This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC,
the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
is Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're talking about the top 100 list, and Ryan Coleman Williams stood out. He wasn't on there, and dang, man, we got a tough crowd, man. Folks are very, listen, I guess that's, you know, with Alabama fans, man, they expect excellence. So I'm rooting for Ryan to redeem himself. Now, again, Smitty type year, I don't know. Adam, I love you, man. You're my guy. But that, let's hope. But he's definitely going to have a better year, in my opinion. Let's do this. Is there any other real quick as we wind down here? I know all the emphasis was on Ryan. Is there anybody else we can think of that we feel like maybe deserved? Dejon Lee, let me ask you about him. He's a young cornerback. I feel like he's done some good stuff, man. I mean, he's made some big plays in his young career. He's a physical guy. He's a big corner. I mean, he's a special type of player. Now, I don't know if he's done enough thus far to maybe earn a spot, but do you think maybe he could have snuck in there maybe in the 90s range, or is there another guy maybe we're just forgetting about? I mean, if Isaiah Horton didn't transfer, maybe him.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I saw him on the list for Texas A&M. Anybody else you can think of?
No, there really isn't. And you know what? I think that that's a good place for the players to be in. I think it's something that can motivate them, and something that they can really show during the season is that they should have been on that. But at this point, it's not that Alabama's players are inferior. It's that they have something to prove. And I think with their talent and the right coaching and the right mindset, and I think they can do that. And I have an outside the box solution for this, but no one listens to my solutions.
What's the solution, Adam? Listen, you're talking about swimming in shark infested waters and boxing matches. So I mean, now you've kind of piqued my curiosity, man.
Well, when I was teaching a law school class about 12 years ago, there were only about 8 or 9 people in the class, and they said, "Professor, the final is going to be really difficult, so what should we do to prepare for it?" And I said, "Number one, go skydiving." And they looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, "Just go skydiving, and then the rest of it will be clear to you." Sure enough, they went as a group and went skydiving. And then for the first class ever, they all got A's. And I said, "Why'd you all get A's?" They said, "When we realized we could skydive and realize it wasn't as scary as we thought, we realized we could do anything." So it's like, it may sound crazy, but little things like outside the box things that have nothing to do with football that teach you to overcome your fear and do things you don't think you can do is great. Now, I will say the dean called me into his office and said, "Is it true that you had your classmates?" I said it was totally voluntary. But the benefit to that, I mean, there's a reason why Bear Bryant took his players to Junction. There's a reason why players are running 110 sprints and 98 degree heat. I mean, so I guess what I'm pointing to is the psychology of success is just as important as anything else.
So that's a true story. You actually recommended students to skydive.
Yes, I still think I have pictures in my phone. And
I've never heard of that. I mean, that's interesting. I mean, so you said they responded well, where they got good grades.
They all got A's. And it was the only class I've ever taught that got A's. And I told, well, of course, I told them this is a recommendation. But it showed them, if I can do this, I guess taking an exam is so small in comparison. I can do anything. It's a mindset thing. But maybe I'm crazy.
No, listen, I mean, it worked. So, I mean, listen, that's all that really matters. I was going to throw this out there real quick. I mentioned a familiar face back in Baton Rouge, Ed Ogeron. Has been hired to Lane Kiffin's staff, and he's returning back to where he was responsible for leading his team to a national title in 2019. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he's going to serve like with the defense a little bit, and also some type of analyst, something like that. But I don't know, thought it was interesting, man. They're bringing old Ed Ogeron back, and without a doubt, he's definitely going to help with recruiting. Talk about landing guys. Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you have any last-minute thoughts on that, Adam?
I love him. He's like where I grew up, a blue-collar, grinded-out guy, authentic, straight up with you. Yeah, love the guy.
Yeah, he's definitely entertaining, to say the least. Adam, big thanks to you, as always, on this Thursday, hanging out with us. I know you're busy, but thank you so much for hanging out with us, all the good takes, the interesting hot takes that you bring to the show. We love it, man. It makes everything more entertaining. But before we let you go, tell everybody how they can keep up and get in contact with you guys at Lamparello Law.
Yeah, if you need any representation in criminal matters, education matters, call us. We don't charge you a lot of money, but we give you great results. So if you need anything, call us. And as always, thanks for having me on the show. It's wonderful to be here.
Yes, sir. Always a pleasure. We'll see you next time, Adam.
All right. Take care.
Yes, sir. You too. Mr. Lamparello of Lamparello Law Education Advocacy, our official representation here on the show. Big thanks to him and everything that he does to support us and be a part of what we're doing here on the show. That'll do it for us this Thursday edition. We'll be back tomorrow for a free-for-all Friday right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.